welcome. Because I felt you about to start, and I was like, ooh.
I was like, I never say welcome back. You always do.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of Wine and Whispers.
What was that? What was that?
I don't know.
Your leg hurts you?
What?
I don't know. You just was kicking your leg up in the air.
Oh, because sometimes when I get excited and I laugh, I just have to move my body. I wasn't ready for that. So I was just like, yes. Yeah, so sometimes I just gotta move. I can't sit still. Okay. The things that you learn, Nikita.
We're definitely in a different mood than when we first came here.
Oh, we're in a completely different mood because I was down.
I was in the dumps. Yeah. I don't want a people. I don't like people.
Yeah. But I like people now.
So to the good people.
Hi.
Out there who have joined the community. Welcome new ones.
Hello.
If you don't know us, we're full of shenanigans. But there are days, boy, there are days where I'm sure everyone else feels it from time to time. We just don't want a people. We don't want a people. We don't want to anything. Like, I literally called Nikita this morning and I was like, I didn't want to get out the car. I dropped the kids off and I literally did not want to get out the car. And I got upstairs into my apartment, and I was like, I don't want to move. I don't want to move.
I said take a nap.
Now, I'll joke around. I'm not, there's no true diagnosis, but from time to time, I will say, we've heard of seasonal depression.
Yep.
We've heard of functional depression.
Yep.
We've heard of the actual true
depression.
Term of depression, but some days we just, it's overwhelming and you just don't want to be peopling and the world is loud.
And the world has been loud recently in general.
And too. It's tiring. People think that sometimes fatigue is just an emotional feeling, but it's a physical feeling as well.
Right. It's both. And when you get slapped with both, then it's just.
We're going to uncork and uncoffee.
And uncoffee.
Because we don't have wine today.
No, today.
Look. We're going to drink our water, mind our business, or drink our coffee, and get up. Get up. Coffee brings you up.
And then it brings you down.
It's a stimulant. It is.
Then you crash, though.
Anyway. I have yet to experience that.
I think I did when I was younger, because I probably was drinking coffee when I shouldn't have. But now I don't. Now I just
But culturally, they give you a little coffee with a little bread and butter, and you good.
Yeah. I mean, I've been drinking coffee since forever.
Okay.
Now I just drink coffee because I like it.
All right. So I'm going to take a sip of this, and then we're going to get started.
Okay. Because I drink water and mind my business.
Well, you have water.
I do.
I do. And I'm the one that's still sipping on my coffee. You finished your coffee a while ago. Yeah, I can. So, again, this is one of those things where the term is flying around, and everyone now wants to be a, you know, proclaimed therapist, psychiatrist, counselor. We are not.
We have feelings. That's what we have.
We have big, big feelings. And we want to talk about it to the average person who is feeling similar things we are feeling.
Because you have big, big feelings too. And we understand you have big, big feelings. Or small feelings that also need to be noticed.
Absolutely. So, did a little digging.
I love when you do some digging.
Yes.
Tell me the digging.
I feel so studious. When I do a little thing.
Yes. Got some knowledge in here, guys.
Side note. I met someone. I didn't meet them. I met them, but I didn't know I met them. And then I met them again. And they were like, oh, yeah.
Meeting?
And then they were like, yeah, I know you from Instagram. And I'm like, oh, so you've seen this. We cackled together.
Did you?
We did. She laughed at me.
Did you do this?
That one's for you. Because she's also on Instagram, so I follow her. She follows me.
Yay, you follow each other. Yeah. I love it. Support
love
each other.
Love it. And you are the 6 degrees of separation. You and your partner.
We are?
Yeah.
I love that even more for me. I don't know how it happened, but I love it.
All right. So, there's actually no true definition in the DSM-5, which is the book that is like the Holy Grail Bible for therapists, psychologists, and counselors out there who need to have a point of reference for the different ailments and disorders that are out there. I think that's what exactly what it is, stands for, the D, right? This disorder, don't quote me on what the definition of the book name is.
I'll Google it right now.
But DSM-5, right? And then this is the most up-to-date because they're constantly updating it. So the DSM-5 does not have a true definition of functional depression.
Wait.
Go ahead.
The DSM stands for the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And the 5 is because it's the fifth edition. This marks the first significant revision of the publication since DSM-4, which was done in 1994, 20 years ago, y'all.
Yeah, DSM-5 came out. They were changing the DSM-5 when I was going for my school counseling program.
Okay.
So they would always say when the DSM-5 comes out, when the DSM-5 comes out, because they knew they were working on it.
So DSM-5 came out in 2013.
See?
And then they're saying DSM-6 may be released sometime between 23 and 28. Just to give
They're saying between. We're in 2025 now.
So it may or may not come out. So it's 25 and 28. But that is
so they have another 3 years for the DSM-6. Yes. So we're going to go by the DSM-5, right?
DSM-6 doesn't exist. Okay.
So functional depression, which is a form of also known as high functioning depression, is not a formal diagnosis as per the DSM-5, right? But it's thrown around a lot.
It is.
It's a way of that people describe who can still handle day-to-day responsibilities while dealing with depressive symptoms. From a clinical standpoint, the DSM-5, the DSM, see, it's one of those days, people.
It's one of them days.
The DSM-5 defines depression under the umbrella of major depressive disorder, which makes sense because there's variations of what depression can look like.
Okay.
That means to meet the criteria, a person typically has to experience certain symptoms like persistent low mood, loss of interest in activities, changes in sleep or appetite, feelings of worthlessness, I'm going to throw in overwhelmness.
Okay.
And so on for at least 2 weeks or more.
Oh, that's what that...
Right. So if you're consistently feeling that...
For 2 weeks.
Or more, then you fall underneath that umbrella somewhere.
But if I feel that way consistently for 12 days, I won't fall under it. I just want to make sure I understand.
I think they just needed to have some level of measurement. To be able to say, yep, you've crossed that threshold. Into
okay.
You know
understood.
What I mean? So, because let's say in the instance of grief, right? You're going to feel grief for some time, but then there's a moment where if you're working through it, it breaks. Correct.
Okay. I understand now. That was a good example.
If you're past the 2 weeks and you're still feeling that, then you need to, you know, stay with whatever support you have and continue with it.
Okay. Thank you. I needed that understanding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Abnormal psychology. I loved it and hated it at the same time.
Nah, I hated it.
Yeah, I did. Because it was the clinical part for me.
I get that.
I'm not a clinical person. Although I did great in anatomy and physiology when I was going for my manager license.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Random fact. The largest organ in your body?
In my body?
The largest organ on your body.
On my body.
On in?
In my butt. That's not an organ. The largest organ. My lungs.
Your skin. Oh, your skin is an organ. People forget about it.
I do forget about that. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
That was a good tidbit. The more you know. So, I'm going to pose this question to you because we were joking around earlier. And I don't want to present as if I'm making fun of this. I just want to keep it in the realm of girlfriends talking about, like, damn, shit is real out here.
And this is how...
And life be life in us.
I think I also want to preface it by saying this is how Denise and I overcome things. And it may,
and feel it.
And feel it. And it may not be how you overcome or feel it, but this is how we stay sane, right? We have to joke about it just a little bit. We understand that it is serious. We understand that people are going through it. But this is how she and I are able to continue moving forward in a day-to-day capacity and not succumb to it all the time, every day.
And we will provide true and factual and real points of reference in terms of support Yes, absolutely. If you are feeling or experiencing it, everything, but, you know, they said laughter is a form of medicine.
It is.
So we'd like to keep it as a form of medicine or
lightheartedness.
I was going to say, I know we did the brain rot episode, but almost like sometimes we need the brain rot.
You do.
So treat this as a little bit of a
brain rot.
A shake up brain rot for you, mm-hmm. You know?
Just a smidge.
So, when I'm angry, pulling away our disclaimer now.
Back to reality. Back to us. Our shenanigans.
How do you handle those days where you're just like, fuck the world, don't ask me for shit. Do you remember that song? Nas.
I was going to say, why are you looking
at me? That was Nas, by the way. But yes. How do you handle those days when you wake up and you're like, damn, fuck the world, do not ask me for nothing?
Oh, you asking me?
I'm asking the question to you, yes.
Oh, I thought we were asking the public.
Okay. No. I mean, they can't answer us. They can in the comments below. But
me specifically, yes, right now. Yes,
specifically right now. We are having an engaging conversation.
Hi. So I will say that when I have those moments, I will go down a few different paths, right? Mm-hmm. You won't hear from me. That's probably my biggest path. If I'm in one of those moods where I just don't want people and I'm just over people, I'm not going to answer text messages. I'm probably not going to answer business emails in a timely fashion like I do. Normally I'll answer emails within an hour, hour and a half.
So you Homer Simpson.
I do Homer Simpson. Quickly. If I don't do that, I will then throw myself into a project. It could be a project as simple as I'm going to do a puzzle today. And I'm going to do that by myself happily. I will read a book. It could be that the business needs something that I've been delaying, procrastinating, so I'm just going to fucking do it now. It could also be, I have three routes. Yep, so this is my third route. It could also be that I need to find a person who doesn't drain my social battery, mm-hmm. or makes me feel some type of way. I know who won't judge.
There's like a level of expectation from you.
Right. It's just someone who I can go over their spot, or they, ooh, see, look. You were talking about me and my
no. Okay. See, you were doing that in act of joy. This is act of pain.
Hit it.
This is pain right now.
So I'll go over that person, and that person will come to me, or we'll meet somewhere, and I will just be in their presence.
Okay.
Those are my three things that I would do.
Okay. So I asked
because
I wanted to share common signs.
Wait, what do you do before you share the common signs?
I think it's either one or two things that I do. I keep myself overactively busy, right? Like I overachieve being okay. busy. Or I shut down and speak only when I need to. And that's kind of hard when you are mothering and my day-to-day, I'm holding people's hands for, you know, sometimes an hour, 2 hours.
3 hours.
3 hours, depending on how intricate the art design is. It's hard because you still got to show up and show face. So what I typically do in those instances, if you ever notice, I'm not divulging information, like I'm not having a back and forth conversation. I'm only asking questions about you. Just know I'm in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Or the people that I trust, I will blurt out everything. And rather than it being a vent session to me, I vent session to them.
Sometimes it's needed.
Like, this is what's going on. I need some sound advice.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Thoughts? Right. Right. Because more than often, like, if I have my good, you know, true people for 12 months, right? Maybe out of those 12 months, 2 months, it's my turn to say, this is what I'm stressed about. But then for the most part, it's a back and forth. Mm-hmm. Right?
Everyone's allowed it. I love it.
If you find that I am dominating the conversation, and then there's some people you just know not to dominate the conversation. Yeah, sure. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well.
Because you know.
Right. I can't divulge this to you because you are not in the headspace for me to have this conversation.
You know that they're coming for event session.
Right. So, yes, I over achieve and keep myself busy. Okay. Or I become recluse. Mm-hmm. Or I guess you can say trauma dump.
Sure, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, common signs of high-functioning depression. These are signs that someone may be struggling, even though they may seem to be, quote-unquote,
cool.
Okay. Persistent low mood or feeling blah, lasting a long time, not just days.
Okay.
Don't judge me. Chronic fatigue / low energy, even when tasks are being met. Sleep disturbances.
That can't count because
insomnia. Hypersomnia, sleeping too much. So you become drained, I guess. Like overly drained.
Overly drained. I already have.
I don't know, it might present different.
Okay.
Changes in appetite / weight, increase or decrease.
Okay.
Right? Because, and that makes sense because you're having sleep patterns that are disrupted, right? Your cortisol levels are now fluctuating because they're affected. Changes in appetite, loss of pleasure in things that used to bring you joy, even while still going through the emotions. I think that's.
Say it again. Wait.
I think that's definitely a spectrum of the depression that's on the higher, like, you need to pay attention to this situation.
Say it again.
Loss of pleasure in things that used to bring you joy, even while still going through the emotions. That's rough. That's
okay.
Deep.
That is. You had to say it again so I can, like, really process that info.
No problem.
Okay.
Difficulty concentrating, making decisions, or persistent negative thought patterns. Okay. So if you aren't typically an ADHD person, you might present this at this time.
Right.
Excuse me. Irritable short temper, restlessness.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to pause here for real quick.
Okay.
To all of my perimenopause and menopause ladies, be very mindful with this. Oh, and my postpartum ladies, right? I do not want you to feel like because this is a symptom presenting that you have depression.
No, your hormones are
exactly. That's what I want you. That's a hormonal thing that's separate from a functional. This is how I'm feeling thing. I mean, everything is hormonal, yes. But these are specific to the hormonal fluctuation that you're having because of either childbearing or your body is going through a whole new phase now because you're now no longer in a menstruating phase. You are now in a demenstruating phase. I just made that word up, but you know what I mean.
But I also think that if you don't know you're going through peri, that's when it gets a little disconcerting because now you're questioning what it is.
So what's going on?
It's definitely one of those you have to just be mindful about everything that's happening.
Yes. Write it down. And the next time you have a visit with your doctor, both your PCP and your GYN,
have a
please present this to them so that this way they can better medically provide you advice.
Absolutely.
Okay. Social withdrawal, avoiding friends or family, feeling disconnected.
Yup.
Physical symptoms, sometimes GI issues, headaches, general feeling of being unwell. And then the last thing it says, which I'm pretty sure it's not the last, but it's the common of all, putting on a brave face, outward success, normalcy, but internal struggle.
That could be every day.
I saw something, don't quote me on it, because
we see a lot.
I send people and Nikita so much, right? I have group chats with different people. I have individual conversations with people. But I see these things and I send it because I want people to be aware. Mm-hmm. So I did see something somewhere where two things. Where the person was saying functional depression is real, where they show up. That person puts on a brave face and they act normal. You wouldn't know anything. Remember how, you know how like that phrase that says, always check on your strong friends? Check on your strong friends.
Absolutely.
Because they don't want to be an additional burden to whatever you're feeling. So they're going to hold it in.
Yes.
Right? Second thing I saw, and I was telling you this earlier, was this gentleman, he was saying, you know, people get so mad at people when they don't hear from them. But these people may be living in a space where it's like, it's a daily struggle for me just to be showing up. So yes, I did not get your text message. So yes, I did not read your text message. I did not read your DM. I did not respond back because the struggle is so freaking real. I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to keep my head above water.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, yes, I am not going to pay attention to that because I have other things that are more pressing in front of me.
Absolutely.
So again, check on your strong friends. Check on the ones that are not answering because it's not that they are ignoring you. They're going through their own internal struggles.
I mean, think about it, right? So I can name at minimum right now, maybe two to three big stars who we all thought were okay.
Yeah.
Right? Robin Williams is the one that comes to my head.
Yep.
Immediately. Because he's the comedian that was ready to give you a laugh, a right. chuckle, a joke, send out these welcome thoughts, right? And little did we know he was struggling with this whole time.
Right.
And there's Twitch, right? The dancer.
Yeah. His wife, like,
no one knew.
But I think somewhere they found out that he said that he didn't want to pass this burden on to his wife.
He wrote a note.
Yeah.
He wrote a note. But, like, I think, what was it? He literally had did a dance with his wife or somebody.
Yep. Like, days before.
Posted a video, smiling, all smiles, right? I would have never known.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you never know. You never know what people are going through, especially those who are, like, with those strong smiles and those faces, and they're moving throughout those days, you know. We'll never understand what's truly going on.
Internally,
Because we're all ducks in the water, and then you never know how fast your feet are pedaling.
I knew the metaphor you were getting at when you said, yeah. That's why I turned and laughed, yeah.
Because we are. You don't know how fast my feet are pedaling underneath. You see my exterior.
Yeah,
my
you think I'm gliding, but I'm not.
I'm going like this. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
You'll never know.
And
or I'm not. We don't know.
We don't know. Life will give you those moments.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you have to grow somehow, some way.
Absolutely.
And so you're going to be challenged in life from time to time because that's part of the ebbs and flows of what's supposed to happen to build character, to build you. But some people can't get out of it.
And that's what it is. Sometimes
it's hard to get out of
that
funk to get back into the space of joy.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you feel like you're getting knocked down and knocked down and knocked down and you can't see the light at the end of this tunnel.
Right. Right. And if you speak to a spiritual person, they will let you know that, you know, yes, there are ebbs and flows. But manifestation and words are powerful. And I bring this up to say because when you manifest or if you're into manifestation, I know not everyone's going to believe it, but I am one of those people for affirmations and manifestation.
Absolutely.
Right? If I speak light, you mirror light, you receive light.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm consistently speaking like, this is never going to work, this is not going to happen.
You're speaking heavy.
And you speak heavily and you speak negatively, negative will be attracted to you. So if you are someone who is in the space where you understand and you respect the manifestation and you want to attract light, speak light.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying that, you know. Is it going to be like, oh, you speak light and automatically tomorrow what you speak is going to happen? No. It takes dedication. It takes belief. You're not saying it to say it, and you're not saying it with conviction.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say it. You want to believe it. You want to embrace it.
You got
to
say it with your whole soul.
Correct.
What I also like to say is, whether you believe in a higher power or not, I always have to remind myself.
It's a form of prayer.
Yeah.
Manifestation is a form of prayer.
Absolutely. I always have to say to myself that I'm not on this path with these obstacles if I couldn't overcome. He or she would not put this here in front of me if I couldn't overcome.
Correct.
It's a test. And I'm not failing this fucking test.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
And that's the mindset that I be going through it and I just be like, I'm not fucking failing.
Yeah.
I refuse to fucking fail. I'm gonna go cry a little bit in my corner though real quick.
I sit there and I'm like, okay, what's the lesson I need to learn out of this?
Yeah.
What is the lesson that I'm trying, that I need to get out of this? Because there's clearly a lesson, or there's clearly a character
Something.
Strength being built in me for later on. Mm-hmm. What is it that I'm going to get out of this?
Right. You need to look at the big picture because sometimes I feel like an
It was my slow turn. I wasn't prepared. If you don't know where that's from, I don't know.
By the way, your girls are popping. My struggle this morning.
And you are already feeling whatever you're feeling this morning.
So I've been in a funk since yesterday. Don't know why. I probably do know why. It got cold. I'm definitely the person that needs heat, and I need heat 24/7 because I love to be warm. I woke up and I was cold yesterday, and I was just like, fuck that shit.
You like to be bare.
I like to be bare?
Yeah, your whole shoulder's out.
I do like to be bare. I don't like clothes. I don't. When I was a baby, not a baby, when I was one or two, my mom always tells me I would come home from church, I would strip naked, and then I would run in my backyard in my diaper. Sometimes not in my diaper, but whatever, don't matter.
She's a baby.
I didn't like clothes.
Right, I did. Sure, maybe. I don't know.
I didn't like clothes. I still don't like clothes to this day. So I need to be warm at all times. So I woke up. I think that's what put me in my funk. And I woke up again today and I was cold.
Cold.
So I was in a funk. So then I had to do my hair. And I don't know if you know, but if you know, sometimes when you're doing curls.
And you don't want to be curling.
And I finger coil, so I was finger coiling today.
Oh, you saw what I sent you?
You just sent it to me after I got here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I was finger coiling today. Let me tell you how a couple of these curls wasn't coiling. Normally, this finger coil will take me between 30 to 40 minutes.
How long did it take you this one?
Oof.
So, we're not going to get off track.
No, but it did not help my funk that I was in, okay. Right? So then I was in this funk, and I came here, and I said, Denise, hey, I'm in a mood. I was in a mood.
But I think I presented my mood to you first.
You did, because I wasn't going to talk about it. I'll be so honest.
Do you see what I mean?
I wasn't gonna...
This topic at hand.
Topic. I literally wasn't going to talk to you about it today. But I think
I mentioned to you, was it in the summertime where I was like, Again, I have not been formally diagnosed. This is me just characterizing myself.
Your feelings, okay?
Feeling that I'm overwhelmed. And maybe it is just overwhelmness and I'm categorizing it as functional depression. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it feels like that because I'm just going through the motions, but I'm not exactly
finding joy.
And I didn't start to feel joy until the last week or so.
Like last
of
week?
All of the things that was transpiring in behind the scenes.
Like last week?
Yeah, because it was
a lot.
It was a lot to take in, but then it was like, oh shit. It's confirmed. It's like concrete. It's like, okay, this is happening. Like, yes, I'm excited.
It's hard to feel the joy when your to-do list keeps getting longer and longer and longer, and you don't feel like you're accomplishing your to-do list. And so then when you got the news and you were able to say, oh, check.
Right.
And
so
then
as I was
checked,
and things were checking off, I'm like, oh. Okay, all right. So this is happening. This is good. So there was a newfound excitement. Yes. But, you know, even though I have the excitement in me, some moments are just like, oof.
It's hard.
I think my body needs to physically catch up with the rest of everything that's going on.
Because adulting is shit. It's what it is. Adulting is shit. And no one told us it was going to be like this. And then no one, coming from my background, no one ever told me that I need to go to talk to somebody.
Oh, no, it's shameful.
To unload. It's
a stigma.
It's shameful. So then growing up with that stigma, I remember the first time that I went to go see a therapist, I was in college. Okay.
I think we mentioned this before. Yes, yes.
This was free.
Mm-hmm. She was horrible.
But it was the best thing that I could have done for myself, right? Because then I realized, while she was new in the game, I realized that still talking to somebody who is unbiased.
Right. Helps.
Change my game. Change the game.
I believe it.
I don't know where I was going with that.
It's okay. No, you're saying like, no, you're pretty much saying that it's okay to not harbor it. it's okay to release it.
It's okay to need help.
Yes. Because if you hold it on to it, like it everything, boils. Everything we do, mm-hmm. the emotional, the mental stuff that don't have like a physical presence, mm-hmm. they still manifest in you physically in aches and pain.
Absolutely.
So if you are experiencing some level of stress, whatever, stress, overwhelmness, depression, whatever you want to call it, and then you're like, oh, my back is hurting. Oh, my, I'm getting these headaches. Where do you think it's coming from?
What's happening in your life that's causing it?
Exactly. Lack of sleep will manifest in other ways. Again, the cortisol. So, I know I have lack of sleep. That's what all this is. That's why I hide it. I know it. Don't get me wrong. Do I love it? No. But I have so much I need to do that I need to be able to remember. I need to take care of that too.
I want you to sleep though.
Yes, I want to sleep too. I will be. You just will not be. Yet.
Okay. Two weeks.
2 weeks.
One more. 2 weeks-ish. You know.
But just keep that in mind, right? Like that is a form of how it's manifesting for you. With that, I'm going to segue between how it manifests or how it shows up or how it presents itself different for men versus women.
Oh.
Ooh. You wasn't ready for that, were you?
I wasn't. Not she's over here scheming. I love a good scheme. Yes, I do want to know this information, actually.
Okay. So, token of diagnosis, speaking up. How men versus women speak up about what they're feeling. Women are more likely to report feelings of sadness, worthlessness, guilt, more likely to seek help or acknowledge emotional distress. Okay. Men are more likely to underreport or frame symptoms as irritability, stress, or physical complaints, and they may avoid help due to stigma.
Because they got to be the man, a man don't got no problems, a man got to provide. That shit's annoying.
BS. I call BS. Remember the game? Bullshit. I call bullshit.
It's a great game.
Oh, I didn't.
Bullshit.
Emotional internalizing symptoms. Women may show more internalizing symptoms, worry, rumination, negative self-talk, feelings of hopelessness. Men can present with irritability, anger, aggression, or frustration rather than openly sadness. Sometimes substance use or withdraw are ways they mask or cope.
Okay.
Except, unfortunately.
I do too, unfortunately as well.
Functional masking, maintaining appearance. Likely to continue with social obligations, they may feel guilt or failure for not doing more, often push themselves. That's also where the term mom guilt comes from too. Mm-hmm. It stems from that, right? You feel like, I'm doing this, but I'm failing at my kids. You can only do but so much.
Correct.
Pot, kettle, I know. Talk to me. More likely to bury themselves in work is men. Hide symptoms, perhaps show less overt emotional vulnerability. Symptoms may be more physical, fatigue, sleep issues, or behavioral. Changes in risk behavior. And again, substance use comes up for that one.
So I find that...
There's one more when you get a chance. Okay.
No, go ahead.
No, I don't want you to lose your thought.
That's rude, but factual. So I find it interesting that the throw themselves into work is only listed under the man, where I feel like women do that very much so all the effing time. It is only listed under the men, correct?
Yes.
I think it has something to do with the fact that during the time when this came out, which is 20-something, the gender roles were still kind of fluctuating and weren't so settled. Where like now it's everywhere we go, it's a 2-household income. Like before, it didn't need to be as much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a necessity. So I feel like now I'd be interested to see if the DSM-6 comes out and if that's now listed under both.
It's very possible.
It is. I'd be interested, especially because more women are getting back into the workforce. More women are doing things like getting an education and going further and all those things, right? Like, right. The statistics now
have shifted
from 10 years ago.
Right. Which I think makes sense why they don't put them out every 2-3 years, because they want to be able to have a substantial amount of data to be able to say, okay, this has been the pattern steadily over this many years. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's very possible that by DSM-6, it may shift to be equal parts. I guess because I can resonate with some of the things that are here, I can see the guilt part, right? And the guilt being that I'm not doing more. So I think when they do this, it's not supposed to be a set in stone male, female. I think it's just the generalization of who presents more of what. So maybe there's more men that present overachieving in a workforce versus women. Okay. And that's why they just categorize it under men.
Okay.
Right? Because it's the same thing with anything we do, right? If we talk about zodiacs, I don't live up to all of the traits that are there. Okay, do I have them? Yes, but I'm not presenting them 90% of the time. I think it's the same concept.
Mm,
you know what I mean? Or like, you know, as someone who owns a studio, do you have all of the capabilities of doing what another studio is doing maybe 20 miles away? Yes. Do you do them? No. So yeah, I think that's what that is. And then the final one is risk and outcome. Higher diagnosis in women, possibly more help seeking, also may experience more frequent or longer episodes, which I can understand because, again, we have more of the hormonal transitions than men do.
Correct.
So I can understand that.
That makes sense to me.
Greater risk of severe outcomes for men, like suicide, underdiagnosis, which can delay treatment. And this is why they kept tying substance use. Again, substance use can go either way. I think it just presents more based on whatever research they did in men.
It's also the fact that I think that at the end of the day, a woman is more likely to go and seek help versus a man because the stigma of men going to seek help is so...
Right. And we're not even talking about the layers that come culturally either. We're just talking about it at face value.
Right. It can be seen as emasculating, if a man was going to go seek therapy versus a woman.
Whatever it is, you don't want to go to a traditional therapist or psychologist or psychiatrist, right? Those are the three different terms, yes. There are other ways that you can seek assistance and resources. There are your spiritual leaders that are in your community. Mm-hmm. There are friends. Even if you lean on a friend, the one job your friend has to do is make sure that one of the three doesn't happen. You don't hurt yourself, you don't hurt somebody else, and someone else is not hurting you.
Okay, yes.
You're not hurting somebody else. You're not hurting yourself. Someone else is not hurting you.
Yes.
Those are the rules when it comes to any therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist, counselor. Those are the only times we break confidentiality.
Correct.
Right?
If you're causing harm.
Right.
And so or that's, being
those
harmed.
Those three rules apply to your friendships.
Absolutely.
That's why I said it. Don't yell at me.
Sorry. Listen, what stays between us is between us, unless
one of the three.
Absolutely, because if that's happening, that's when we need to step in. And if we can't help you in that capacity, I need to find you the help.
Yeah.
Or you need to find me to help. You need to help each other.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping.
You're welcome. Okay. Any of those, aside from the men working more and the substance use, any of those very verses popped out to you to be like, I expected that.
This all sounded accurate to me.
Okay.
Nothing sounded out of the norm except for the drugs, abuse, and substance, and the overworking. But I think that's just because I would overwork, right?
Yeah. So, and I think that's where the outliers of the individuality come into play.
Right. Because I also have, some people would say that I have a masculine energy sometimes. So then.
Yeah, that's just, again, if you don't believe in zodiacs, that's fine. But zodiac-wise, we
do.
Instinctly do.
Right.
We're born with it.
Right.
Sun, moon, rising, or what is it? sun, moon, rising, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're trying to say.
Whether you rise with it or you sleep with it.
Not honey. What you rise with it.
But yes, you have it.
Correct.
Some present more than others.
So, like, that's why that one resonates so much with me, because I am the person where, I mean, look at me. I have had 3 jobs probably since I was 16, right?
I'm smiling so hard because that was me too.
Right. So, and like, I didn't know what it meant to not go.
Right.
I still don't know what it means to not go. I'm still learning on that, right?
I get yelled at all the time too. It's okay to be still.
Is it though?
Is it?
Is it? But that could be it. That's one of those things where, like,
high functioning.
Correct. I don't know what it means.
Overachieving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It literally falls into that category.
So perfect example.
Okay.
Of overachieving in the high function, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, I'm gonna crop it out.
So we're not talking about it.
When I am overwhelmed or stressed, or like when my grandmother passed away, because that's the biggest grief that I experienced. I grieved other people. I'm not gonna say I haven't grieved them.
No, but my grandfather.
But mm-hmm. I grieved my grandmother the most, because that was my first true, like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That was someone that was mine,
mm-hmm.
right? You either a grieve someone who grieves and you do not eat, or you someone who grieve and you eat. I allowed food to consume me in my grief process. And I immersed myself in work and kept myself busy.
That's what I did.
Probably not what I was supposed to do. So it presents as if you don't care. But it's farthest from the truth. It's keeping your mind actively busy to not think about it.
So I remember I didn't eat. I went the opposite route. Okay. I didn't
eat. I'm an eater.
So I went the opposite route and I didn't eat. And then I remember when my grandfather passed away, he helped raise me, right? Like, he taught me how to play cards, dominoes, stuff I shouldn't have been learning. But, like, that was my grandfather. And then when he passed away, I was working in an old people home.
Mm.
So I remember when I came back, I immediately came back and I went right into work. I was working.
Because what? Was there a level of, I can save these people?
Nope. There was a level of, what am I going to do at home?
Right.
What am I going to do at home in my childhood home where I have all of these memories?
Right.
Absolutely not. I went to work. So I remember, typically I'm the person at work where I was very much
effervescent and bubbly.
Correct. And I wasn't, because sometimes these old people.
Even here.
Sometimes these old people will be coming into the office, and normally I would talk to them. I was quick to say, you're in the wrong location. I'm so sorry. Can I put you in the right place? And then we had to do this parade for someone who turned 100. We were celebrating all the birthdays.
Aww.
And they were like, Nikita, this is right up your alley. You love to celebrate and hype people up. I said, I'm not going.
Not today.
No, I'm not going. As much as I wanted to immerse myself in my job and be distracted, don't put me around these people that remind me of me. There's a limit to, like, what everyone can do and how they do it.
Yeah.
That was my limit.
So what can close ones and loved ones do if they see someone presenting any of the symptoms or similar symptoms to what this could be, right? You want to reach out gently and mm-hmm. express concern.
Mm-hmm.
Validate their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Help with practical support.
Okay.
Encourage professional help. Which we will also be listing at the bottom of this description, so that this way, if you or someone you know who might need it to get properly diagnosed, that information will be there.
And I would also like to say, double check with your insurance companies.
Yes.
Because your insurance companies typically will have outlets for you to use that are free or discounted.
Right.
Putting that out.
Thank you very much for that one.
HR brain still at work.
Be consistent and patient.
Mm-hmm.
Look out for warning signs. Support self-care opportunities and maintain your own boundaries and self-care. You don't want to get fully immersed, because 2 people who are feeling the same can't help each other.
No. Misery loves company.
Correct. Now, if you feel that you are experiencing some of these things and you want to be able to start seeking help, good for you, one, because the first thing is acknowledging it, mm-hmm. right? Seek professional help is number two. Okay. Find therapy. Cognitive, behavioral, other modalities, and group therapy. They have medication, but they strongly put in parentheses if needed. But that has to come from whatever sessions that you find Absolutely. With a therapist.
Don't go find it
Do
on your own.
Do not start self-medicating.
Do not go find it on your own.
If you notice there's life changes in self-care routine, mindfulness, stress reduction practices, meditation is a good form. Yoga is a good form because yoga is the gateway to meditation.
Absolutely.
Set realistic goals and boundaries. Mm-hmm. Stay socially connected, even if it's just one person. That one person socially and you trust and you feel like you can be your most vulnerable with, that is your go-to person.
Absolutely.
Keep them, you know? And then monitor your progress. Keep track. And then there is crisis planning. Again, there are a lot of these steps that are presented here. You definitely need to do it with a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do it with a professional, I'm pretty sure they give you the homework and then you follow through and check in how you're looking either week to week, biweekly, or monthly, however you have that set up. Okay? I know some of the ones that are really good that people have been using, especially because of, you know, finances. BetterHelp is all over.
BetterHelp
all
over. BetterHelp Headspace is always all over.
Yeah, there's a Talkspace one. Mm-hmm. And then I think this was really cool to put that I found, Therapy for Black Girls. It is actually a whole website and an app. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the National Hotlines for Suicide Crisis. And this one I've never heard of, SAMHSA. I know it's an acronym for something. SAMHSA. But we will list everything there so that this way you have your tools and resources, even if it's not for you, again, you are someone who know the information is there for you guys to have and to share. And just remember to take care of yourself, love yourself. I did see this this young lady, and I'm going to close it off on my end from here. She showed up on my feed one day just randomly, and I think she's so cute, right? And you know, once someone shows up on your feed, you got to check the comments because people will be going in.
I love the comments.
So she always starts majority of her videos where she just hops in, right? And she's just, you know, effervescent like you.
Hi.
Right? And I guess she's a trainer, a fit trainer, or like exercising, and she gives tips and tricks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of her posts, she was like, this is how I do my daily affirmations. Because you don't have to do it this way, but this is how you can do it. And going down her trolling through all her posts, I guess she had a moment of breaking point. And so she's flipped it around and now she's doing better for herself. She's healthier. She's working out. She's doing whatever.
All the good things.
Right. So in this post, she's wearing a robe.
All right, y'all, you ready? So the first thing that you're gonna need is a mirror because this is called mirror work. You're gonna use your own name, and I know it's gonna feel weird and corny for you to use your name at first, but just hang tight with me, okay? It's important for you to do this. So when you look yourself in the eyes, you're gonna say your name, you're gonna say, Audrey, I love you. I love all of the cells in our body for doing their job. Audrey, I love our skin for protecting us from the outside world. Audrey, I love your eyes for showing us the truth. Audrey, I love our feet for holding us down. Audrey, I love our hands for protecting us. Audrey, I love your dish. Especially love your booty. Just go down the list. And when you get done, I want you to give yourself a big hug. The hug that your mother never gave you. And you're going to say, I love you, Audrey. Three times. You're going to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't forget, baby. I love you, okay?
Wrap your arms around yourself and you give yourself the biggest hug, because if you don't love you, then who's gonna love you?
That part. I don't know who this person is, but I'm gonna say that
again. If you don't love you, then who's gonna love you? Because people gonna say they love you. It could be blood, it could be water. I say water because you know what I mean. But at the end of the day,
if you don't love you,
have to love you. Okay?
Absolutely.
And even if that's the only thing you do to boost your mood, baby, love yourself. Love yourself.
You have to. You have to.
Even when you're feeling funky. I did that the other day. I was feeling funky. I was like, Denise, come on. Get it together, girl. I don't know how you talk to yourself, but I'm a little bit, you know, I'm mushy, but I ain't that mushy.
I'm roughing myself. You need to get the fuck up. I'll be honest.
I think I'm mushy with my kids, but I'm not mushy with anyone else.
You need to be mushy with nobody else.
Yeah. Which is weird because when I want to be mushy with Dre sometimes, mm-hmm. feels weird.
I'm not mushy.
Yeah. I know that's part of my, you know, environment growing up, but
it's part of being vulnerable. We weren't vulnerable.
Yeah, so. we weren't taught to be vulnerable.
No. So, Nikita, get the fuck up. With the head and everything.
Bitch. So, yes. We'll leave all the information below.
Yeah.
Hug yourself.
Use it if you need it.
Love yourself. Use it if you need it.
That's all I got.
It was just cute. Okay, I don't got any more. See you next time.
Bye, Wispies. Bye.
Hey, Wispies. Thank you for joining us for another hard-hitting girl talk. If you have a topic or question for us, send us a whisper at info@wineandwhispersclub.com. That's whispers with an S. See you next time, Wispies.